right, let's take our Bibles and go to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to be talking through the longest war. And, of course, that's a play on words, but you came in today weary. You came in today a victim of the casualties of this war. We're all going through it, and there's a twofold aspect to my message this evening. And the first message is, I really want to be able to define what is walking in the Spirit. When I was growing up and I was here at Calvary, I didn't hear this phrase as much, but the more that I started to go to Bible college, I heard this phrase, walking in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. And it was hard for me to kind of get a clear definition as to what is walking in the Spirit. So we're going to talk about that, and then we're going to talk about the battle that we're going to continue to face, and you're going to be able to understand better why you are the way that you are. I've been talking to people online for a long time. People have a lot of questions, and a lot of questions regarding salvation, regarding Christian maturity, rise and fall on this passage right here. And it's very important that you understand the way that you are so that you can understand the minor setbacks that you experience have nothing to do with your eternal life, okay? And then we're going to talk about contextually what this passage is addressing. Let's start there for a moment because I think that's the easiest one to discuss. Paul is going through here, he's just made the argument that we looked through last week where we have the law of liberty. Look very quickly, just as a recap here at verse 13 in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. For brethren, ye have not been called unto liberty, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So we can use this liberty that we have in Christ, not conformity to the Mosaic law or the principles of Judaism. Those things don't bring about righteousness. And this is what was happening. You know this. They're coming in. They're saying the law, the law, the law. Not only are they saying you can follow the law for eternal life, but you can also follow the law for Christian victory. This is how you can be disciplined in the Lord, and you can grow and grow and grow by following these rules. That's not what is going to be offered here by the Apostle Paul. There's a new thing that is within us called the Holy Spirit who leads us, he guides us, and he directs us. He's not going to put the hook in our mouth and pull us against our will. But the more that we submit, the more that we experience this victory, the more that we can, quote, walk in the Spirit. But he says here in verse 13 that this liberty that we have is not to be used in an occasion to the flesh. Now, we're not talking about, you know, your house. What I mean by that is your flesh and bone. Okay, we're all here made up of flesh. That's not really what's being discussed here. What's in light here, what's in scope, is your nature, your strong desires. If there is a way to explain it, you can think of it in that way. It is your fleshly desires, the desires to satisfy self. Now, people will take that to the extreme, and they'll only put that in a sexual category. And they'll say, you know, the real three-headed monster of the flesh is everything that has to do with, like, sexual perversion. That's one aspect of it. But that's not it. I mean, there are people who are sinful and wicked and carnal and don't have any of that sexual perversion. Here's the truth of it. The lust of the flesh is the desire, the strong pull to do what you want to do over what God told you to do. That's what the lust of the flesh is. It's living a life where you are at the center and you are the one who makes all the decisions and all the plans. God is not involved at all. So what the legalists were saying were, in order to help that attitude, the selfish attitude, you conform to the law, and that'll bring about righteousness in practice. But that's not what is told to us in this passage here. In fact, what Paul is saying, we have liberty, but we're not supposed to use that liberty to be a license to sin or to meet the occasion of our desires. Continue on there in verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That is how we can fulfill this law of Christ, this liberty in which we've been given. We love one another. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm sure you, I know I have experienced this, where there are people who are not as far along as I am in my Christian walk, and it's my job to love them, to bring them to the point of Christian maturity by demonstrating Christ-like love to them. Not by demonstrating to them, follow these rules as I have followed. It is a personal thing. It's a coming alongside, just as it's described in 1 John 2, that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. I love that word. It means someone who comes alongside of you. Imagine if you were getting sued in a court of law, your advocate would be your defense, your lawyer. And you shouldn't be having you should have a very close relationship with the person who's going to be standing and giving a defense for you. How beautiful is it that Jesus Christ is not just some lawyer? He is our friend, he is our Savior, and he is our advocate. He comes alongside us every single day. Walking in the flesh, or using this liberty that we have in Christ to serve as an occasion for the flesh, is to reject him, reject that counsel, reject that fellowship, and be consumed with self. It's a basic teaching, but it will control the rest of your life. You are going to go through these battles. Here's how I see it with a lot of people. They start like this. They get saved, they understand the truth, and they start doing it. It's just like exponential growth. And then things kind of flatten out. Not with them necessarily, but maybe with their circumstances. They start to flatten out. And this is the first critical point. Are they going to continue to walk in the Spirit even though the world comes against them? Or are they going to tank back down to the comfort zone of walking in the flesh? And this is what happens with people. And most of the time, here's people's lives. It's just up and down. Wherever they're working, whoever's in their life, maybe whatever relationship they have, it just ebbs and flows. And you can live the Christian life this way. That is an option, but it's not an option that bears fruit. You understand what I'm saying? It's not the best option. It's not an option that is going to be able to encourage more people. You're going to be the example of an undisciplined Christian when you're like this. Yankee would tell me, especially when I first became the youth director, he would tell me, be careful that you don't go so high up in a victory that you're so low down in the valley when there's a loss. He said, just be even. He said, that doesn't mean you have to be monotone and not have any joy, but hey, things go well, that's great. Things go bad, that's okay. I don't have to have a big recovery because of a strong victory or a big recovery because of a strong loss. You just got to be even. And I learned a lot through that. It's a lot of reliance on the Lord, and we're going to get into walking in the Spirit in just a moment here. Finishing up from verse 15. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. And folks, this is even, if be careful that we're not biting and devouring other brothers and sisters in Christ digitally. Because that is very easy to do nowadays. It's already happening to us here at Bible Line. It's happened to many people under Dr. Arnold's teachings and Dr. Kakuza's teachings. And, you know, these people are just people that are clear in the gospel, but they come under attack because some people misunderstand some different doctrines, and then they just start throwing mud at each other. We should not be like that. We should be very, very, very hesitant to publicly criticize a believer. It needs to be something that needs to be, if it needs to be said, then seek that counsel and say those things clearly. But if we're all a part of the body of Christ, let's not break fingers on the same body. You understand what I'm saying? You have to be careful. Specifically now, can you imagine a group of people, if we were to just split the church right now into sides based on where you're sitting this evening, where one side says you attain sanctification through the practice of the Mosaic law, and there's one side that says, no, you have to learn how to walk in the Spirit, there's going to be contention between the two parties, because we're not talking about I like the color red and you like the color blue. It's not a difference like that. We're talking about how can we have success in Christian life. This is a major issue. And so I would venture to say that there were some serious problems happening in the region of Galatia within these churches, where all of a sudden now you're getting splits. And churches are splitting even, you know what? I don't even know if churches are splitting much today because there's nothing much to split on. We're not taking a stand on really anything. It's kind of like, whosoever will, and that part is good, but then we're not teaching them anything. So whosoever will, and then whatsoever that person says is true for them, and we just kind of leave it alone. But it's important to recognize here, these kind of issues can cause division. So we need to get on the same page. What does the Bible say about these things? Okay, let's make a decision, and we'll do this right now. Let's make a decision tonight. Whatever the Word says, that's what we're going to do. And if the Word tells us that we're wrong, we need to be willing to confess that error and get on board with what God has already clearly said. That's a wise principle. Because now it's not whatsoever Pastor Jesse's word says, that's what we're going to do, or Pastor Tom Kakuza's word, or whoever's on the other side there, we're going to do what that person says. No, we're going to do what God says, because it's God that said it. He doesn't make mistakes. We can know and trust the things that he gives us, and we can put them into practice. Okay, look at verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This verse right here is one of the most important and helpful verses for walking in the Christian life. But what does it mean? You may have heard this a lot. I've heard it a lot. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Well, let me tell you a couple things that it's not, and then I'll give you a clear definition of what it is. Walking in the Spirit is not thinking about God all the time. That's not walking in the Spirit. A lot of people, including myself, when I was learning these principles early on in my walk with the Lord, thought that was walking with the Spirit. Well, I'm just thinking about God all the time. Walking in the Spirit is not praying all the time. Walking in the Spirit is not soul winning all the time. Walking in the Spirit is not filling our ears with hymns and Christian songs all the time. That's not walking in the Spirit. Those things will help us get to walking in the Spirit, but I wrote down a definition here of what walking in the Spirit is. Walking in the Spirit is allowing your mind and conduct to be directed by the Spirit. It is an act of one word, submission. That's walking in the Spirit. Because you can be doing all those things that I just listed and still be guided by yourself. You can be someone who prays, but only prays for selfish things. Only prays when you want to pray. You can be a person who's a soul winner, but you have no idea how to reach a person. You give the gospel, but no one's receiving what you say because you lack all kinds of tact. And I've seen that with some individuals. It's tough to watch people try and lead somebody to Christ. It's like going fishing. I know Michael goes fishing all the time. It's like grabbing the fish out of the water and forcing the hook into its mouth and saying, I caught it, and it just slips right off, you know? We should not just be merely giving the gospel for the sake of giving the gospel. We need to give the gospel in the attitude of, I want to reach that person. What can I do to reach that individual? How can I gain favorable attention to reach that person? I have seen individuals who know their Bible, and they know it well, but it's all for themselves. They get so spiritually fat that when it comes time to actually do something, they can't do something because they don't know how to work with people. Here's the Christian life summed up in one word. Listen carefully to me now, because I know I've already said some things that's kind of shocking. I don't mean to say it as shock value. This is the truth. Submit. It is submission. It is denial of what you want and submission to what the Lord wants. And you know what comes with those things? You'll learn how to pray better. You'll learn how to win souls better. You'll learn how to discern what kind of things come in and out of your home better. That's how you get a well-rounded individual. I have seen Dr. Arnold Solwyn many, many, many times. That's a man who's walking in the Spirit. I have seen him go into a doctor's appointment with a neck that doesn't work, folks. This is when he had his surgery to correct the vertebrae that was offline in the back of his neck. He's walking in like this. Poor man. We spent all that time driving to Orlando. He's sitting in the seat like this, looking up one way. He's just in so much pain and agony, barely talking, just kind of, his arm at that time was kind of paralyzed because they had to move a bunch of stuff over, so he couldn't even lift it this high. Then we get into the appointment, and he's already laying seeds. He's already planting the ground to have a conversation with this nurse. Comes in, and he's smiling. He's talking the best that he can. And then it gets to the very end, probably the last time that he ever saw her, because she was a nurse in Orlando, and he gave her the gospel. Didn't take long for him to get the gospel out. I would say a minute tops. And she already had enough information from what he had already been discussing with her to make a decision to put her faith in Christ. That's a soul winner. He wasn't just going through party lines. He wasn't just reading through something that he had memorized years and years and years ago with no emotion and no desire, no intent to actually reach the person, just, I got to get this out because it's my responsibility. He cared. That's a man who's walking in the Spirit. Another man who I saw who's a man who walks in the Spirit is Hank Lindstrom. Well, I'll never forget doing some summer work here and typing in the questions for Bible Line in the office where I now sit now, which is kind of trippy to think about. But I remember him answering questions, quoting scripture, and not even opening his Bible. And there would be people that would be on the other line with him that were vicious and mean and had no intent to actually have a logical discussion with him, yet he would gracefully give them what they needed to hear. And sometimes it was a spoonful of medicine that didn't taste good. I have a document, it's an MP3 file, of Dr. Lindstrom on a radio show. It's very distorted, like it's like in and out because it's just an old copy. But he was on with a rabbi, and the rabbi's name was Jan Bresky, I think, or something like that. And this rabbi, CNN got its playbook on journalism from this rabbi. He had no intent to actually get to the truth. It was just slander after slander, attack after attack on Dr. Lindstrom. And Dr. Lindstrom met every single answer, and at any point that he could, he made a personal attempt to reach that man just where he was. And that's the difference between somebody who is a Christian, but they're not submissive to the Lord. A person who's walking in the Spirit is a person who is under the influence, so to speak. And the scripture uses that illustration in Ephesians 5. But it's a person who's under control and submission of what the Lord wants. You can be Christ-like as you learn to submit. But you have to first submit. And that is an attitude adjustment. You see that with kids, that when they do something because they've been told to do it, and when they do something because they've been told and they want to do it, there's a difference. It's the same way with you. Are you here tonight to just merely meet an obligation? Are you here tonight to just check a box, I came for another Sunday night? I'm just here. But when the preaching is happening, you're somewhere else. Is it hard for you to receive instruction in righteousness because you're full of pride? You may be one of the most faithful people here, and yet you're not walking in the Spirit. You walk in the Spirit by the attitude of submission. And that is why it says so clearly here in verse 16, if you walk in the Spirit, you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. So now we need to define what the lust of the flesh is properly. Everything that we talked about in walking with the Spirit has to do with submission. Everything that we're going to talk about walking in the flesh has to do with indulgence. I want you to think of your favorite sweet treat right now. Some of you, it's powdered donuts. We didn't help you much today. When I was walking out, I had not yet received my powdered donuts, so I walked out and I took one and I was like, oh, there's a lot of these left, okay? And I know if that stays that way, when I get here to pray for the kids on Monday morning, then I'm going to be sitting in my office and I'm going to hear a little, hey, you should check the foyer to see if there's any more of those powdered donuts. You know what I'm saying? But we all have our sweet treats, something that we, when it's put in front of us, if we have not practiced any kind of self-discipline, we could easily overindulge. And, you know, if we make a habit of that kind of lifestyle, we can bring about a lot of problems to ourselves. But that's what the desires of the flesh are. When it says the lust of the flesh, it is indulging, it is partaking in anything that you want at that time. You are merely controlled by yourself. So here's the believer. They have these two positions inside of them. They have their new nature, their spirit nature that came about the moment that they put their faith in Jesus Christ, and they have their flesh nature. And the rest of your life is a decision. Which one are you going to submit to? Are you going to submit to the Holy Spirit, the leadings of Christ, or are you going to submit and indulge to what you want to do? And a lot of people want me to define that for them. Can you tell me specifically? No, that's not my job. The Word tells you. The Holy Spirit is faithful to lead you. I've said this to some people recently, and it's ruffled some feathers, and I don't intend to, but it's the truth. If we are depending on another man in order for us to walk in the Spirit, the moment that man doesn't meet our need, we're done. We look for another man. We look for another person. You have everything that you need with the sealing of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, period. That's all that you need. I've talked with people before who look for clear churches, and I kid you not, I'll Google their area and try to find clear churches. There's not one for 500 miles. So I kind of step back for a moment in my thought, and I launch this 1,000-pound question. I say, I don't mean to be rude or pry or push you in a certain direction, but have you ever considered that maybe the Lord is working for you to start the ministry in which you seek? You know how much sacrifice that requires for a lot of people's minds? You and I grow up in the idea of we go to church and the church meets our needs. And if we don't like this particular thing about a church, then we don't go anymore. I'm not talking about a gospel thing. I'm talking about if you find a clear church and all of a sudden, I don't like their music, it's too old-fashioned, I'm going to go to a different church. That's an unwise decision. But a lot of people look at churches as the restaurant before you go to the restaurant later. You know, you kind of want to pick and choose what you want. It takes a big mindset shift to say, maybe I'm supposed to provide that for somebody else. Maybe I'm supposed to be the beacon of clarity in my community. I've said this too recently. If Calvary gets, if this stadium, this sanctuary here holds about 300-something people, I think. When Dr. Lindstrom passed away, this place was packed out. I mean, all the way to the back here and a portion of the hallway and the back building. If this church gets to the point where that's a regular attendance type thing, we're having a board meeting and we're saying, who can we send to go start another one? Because there needs to be growth and expansion. That's how the church in Acts grew, except they didn't have a meeting about where they're going to go. They were persecuted heavily. And as they were scattered abroad in these different places, they remained faithful. They gathered, they prayed, they went out and led souls to Christ, and people's lives started changing. And the more that they grew, the more persecution came, and it just kept dispersing, just kept going and going. That's the intent of a church growth. But I'll get a lot of people that ask me, where can I go? Where can I go? And maybe they need to learn how to submit more to the Lord, and you start that ministry in which you seek. But they say things like, I don't have a college education. That is not a prerequisite to run a ministry. In no way. There are really only a few prerequisites to run a ministry. Number one, that the person is saved. And number two, that they're not a novice in that they could be lifted up in pride. A new young man can be a pastor if he's not lifted up in pride. There's nothing wrong with that. The trend for young men is pride, something that they have to work out. I was not ready to do the thing that I'm doing right now 10 years ago. When I made the decision to serve the Lord, I was not ready to be a pastor. It took a lot of time and a lot of people being patient with me to get to that point. And it took a lot of time of learning how to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of my flesh. But it was revolutionary for me when I realized what I just told you tonight about submission. Because I was praying, and I was going Friday night soul winning. And I was happy about it, but when it came down to it, I wanted to do the things that I wanted to do. And that was, it was like I was hitting a ceiling. There was so much more growth that I could have if I were to just yield my desires to the Lord. And I'm telling you, when I started to do that, it's not that I reached more people for the gospel. People still heard the gospel. But the joy and the fellowship that I have with the Lord is wonderful. I still have it now. Even in times where we'll have an event and it just totally flops. It's not the end of the world. I'm not going into my office thinking, we got to close the church. And even if it did come to a point where we had to close the church doors here, my ministry is not over. Neither is yours. Let's continue here. We're running a little bit short on time. Verse 17 now talks about this war that comes into play. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. Again, this is not a sexual lust. We've kind of had that word in America tied to sexual perversion, lust, and so we think, oh, sexual perversion. This is just a strong desire. The flesh desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. The things that you want to accomplish in your flesh are going to be difficult to accomplish if you're submitting to the Holy Spirit. And vice versa, the things that you want to do in the Spirit are going to be hard to accomplish if you are submitting to the flesh. These two things are contrary the one to the other. It can be as simple as just being present during a message. Being mentally checked in. I tell people all the time who levy this claim against Calvary, you guys only teach the gospel. The next time I see you in church, I want to see a piece of paper and a pencil in your hand. Start taking notes and see if that is really true. And a lot of times, people realize they teach a lot more. It was amazing to me to see that claim leveled against Yankee. And the very same people who were saying that, they only came on Sunday morning. Never saw them on Sunday night, never saw them on prayer meetings. And we used to go a lot longer on Wednesday nights. Those messages used to be the longest. There's a lot of teaching in there. Get involved. Discipline your mind. Discipline where you go. Discipline the things that you see and the people that you're around. Psalms chapter 1 tells us very clearly, there's a pattern to hanging around sinful people. Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Each one of those steps is a stopping of the progress of walking. If you got a bunch of people that you reserve time with to go out and drink and get wasted and do things of the flesh, you keep doing that, that's going to keep impacting you, period. It's going to keep happening. And you're going to have to start making some decisions. I need to now, instead of participating in these things, I need to find a way to reach those people and bring them out of that. That's going to take some work. That's going to take some yielding. That's going to take some direction that you need from the Holy Spirit. Welcome to submitting. It's a beautiful thing. It's difficult because we have our flesh. That's why it's hard. That's why we're going to continue in this battle all the way until the day that we die. Verse 18. But if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now he's transitioning back to the whole point of the thing. The law does not bring about practical righteousness, practical sanctification. The only way that we can have this progressive sanctification here on earth is by daily submission to the Lord. Period. Not by keeping the dietary laws of the Old Testament. Not by keeping all of the 600-something commandments of the Old Testament. Those things don't bring about any kind of standing with God in a good way. The Lord is, this is what is unique about this dispensation that we're in right now. It's unlike any other before it. Saints in the Old Testament who put their faith in Christ did not have the Holy Spirit residing in them. David had the Holy Spirit for a little bit, and it was taken away from him. Same thing with King Saul. This is interesting now. You and I have this Holy Spirit regardless of how we behave. Both of those men in the Old Testament were ordained by God to be in those positions, and they were disciplined in that way. You and I will never lose that Holy Spirit. So the same kind of direction and leading that those men sorely missed when it was removed from them, we have within us permanently. It is permanent. What a waste of that wonderful gift we would commit by indulging in the flesh. Do you see and understand the point of what I'm saying here tonight? This is the whole thing. This is all of it put together. This is where everything rises and falls. This is how you can be used to do great and wonderful things for the Lord, or you can just be led by your flesh. Submission, submission, submission. 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. This is how they're made known. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, which is rebellion. It's not just practicing demonic things. It is the attitude of rebellion. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Boy, a lot of people like to take this verse and they put the grapple hook of temporary salvation right in it. How many of you have heard people use this passage to prove that if you don't live a good enough life, you're really not saved? Do you know why Paul mentioned these things here in the spot that he does? It's great to know contextually what we're talking about. What are we talking about here? We're not talking about salvation. We're not talking about eternal life. We're talking about victory in the Christian life. The reason why this is brought up is the same reason why it's brought up in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Those lists, that list that we just looked at here, is everything that our flesh does. And what, pray tell, will happen to your flesh one day? It's gone. Forever gone. Now, let me remind you of this truth here. And I don't mean to speak sarcastically here. I'm just speaking strongly because this is what the Scripture says. We already have experienced the victory over our flesh in that all of our sin is paid. So, why then do we decide to live as if we are a slave to that flesh, which we've been freed from by Jesus Christ? If we're not awake tonight, if we're walking as a zombie through our Christian life, this is where you're failing. This is where it's hard. It's hard for you to have victory because you're living as if you're still in bondage. Get out of that. This is what Simple Steps Addiction Recovery is based off of. It's simple stuff. Hard to do because that flesh is strong. But we don't need to live in bondage anymore. We're free. We have liberty. You have a situation come to you and you're presented with the temptation to sin, speak truth to that and decide to walk in the Spirit, submit. And Paul is saying, those things are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. When you get to heaven, believer, those things are going to be gone. Why are you living in them now? You know what that does? The only thing that living in those sins does for the person is it gives more ammunition to the world, and they are loading their guns with our behavior. This is why we have to be careful the way that we talk to lost people. I'll never forget, Yankee took an interview one time downtown. I don't even remember what it was necessarily about. But he said all this great stuff, and then when they clipped it for the news thing, it sounded like he said something completely different. Welcome to the power of editing. You know what I'm saying? Like, You can make anybody appear to say anything, but let's not give them freebies. You know what I'm saying? You know, you hear the joke about road rage. Honestly, what if the person that you cut off is pulling right in next to you? It's their first time coming to church. How about the person that you lose your temper with in the store? Or an argument that you get into? Are we going to bring shame and reproach upon the name of Christ because we're still living in bondage to our flesh? The coffee is brewing. And we have to make sure that we are aware right now of the choices that we have. There's going to come a day where many believers are going to be taken out of their homes because they identify with Christ. I made a video a while ago that talked about submission to the government. When do we do it and all those different things? I encourage you to check that out on YouTube. It's very helpful, especially in what we're about to discuss here in a moment. The rule of the land that you're in is the land that you should obey until it disobeys clear instruction from God. However, you better be ready for the punishment that's going to come. We don't go Rambo. That's not biblical. If you're in a country and you have been given clear instruction to disobey what God has already said is true, you have the right to say no, but get ready for the punishment that's going to come on you. And you will receive strength to get through that. That ruffles a lot of feathers. Some people act as if our homes are fortified fortresses. And if the government were to come and do something in a way that is going to be a threat to us, that we're going to be ready to take on the entire government in defense of our homes. You're just going to kill a few people, and then they're going to kill you. Now, I'm not saying anything about the Second Amendment or anything. That's not what's on discussion here, you know what I'm saying? What I am saying is we need to be prepared to suffer for what is right. And the stronger you are in the Spirit, the easier it will be to submit to the Spirit and be used in any way. You never know how many of those early Christians lost their lives for a clear testimony. How many people it might have impacted. Who's willing to die for a lie? Well, I didn't really see Jesus. No, I'm just kidding. You're going to kill me? No, I'm just kidding. Folks, I know I'm standing here in my nice clothes and we're in an air conditioning room right now and we're in the United States of America where I'm free. But I'd like to think if someone asked me to recant my faith with the threat of death, that I would say no. Because the worst thing that they could do to me is separate this soul from my body. I'm kind of looking forward to that day. I'd like it for Jesus to come down and make, you know, that'd be nice. Rapture would be preference, you know, if we're going through a wish list here. But if I were to lose my life for the sake of the gospel, the Bible says I found it. And that is encouraging. And you know what? Like I said, we're here in America. There are people in a lot of other countries losing their lives for the sake of the gospel. Wrapping up here. I want to stop here on verse 21 because we don't have time to get into 22 through 26. Some great stuff there. We'll look at that not next week, but the week after. As I've told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. This is twofold now. The believer, you shouldn't be living in that bondage which you've been delivered from. And the people who are coming in and telling you law, 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 they commit these things. And if they trust in the law to save them, they will die with just these things on their record. And they will not get in. Those are not people that teach us the word of God. Look at what it says there in verse 12. I would that they were even cut off which trouble you. You can close your Bibles. In conclusion here, I sincerely hope that you haven't been offended by what I've said in regards to walking in the Spirit. I hope you can see the truth of what I said. It's an act of submission. There's nothing wrong with prayer. There's nothing wrong with Bible study. There's nothing wrong with church attendance. There's nothing wrong with soul winning and giving the gospel. But let me tell you, you can be used in a greater way for the Lord when you learn to submit. Those things become more profitable to you. Because you know what? It's just a matter of time until the pride that's driving you is revealed. We were talking about this in Simple Steps. I firmly believe that the demonic influences that are around me can hear me. I don't want to talk. I will never say something like, boy, I'm just the best pastor in Tampa. There's nobody better. If I really believe that, I'm not going to say it. Because that is 100% pride. I'm not the best pastor in Tampa. I'm just a servant of Jesus Christ. That's it, and that's all I want to be. I am content with that position. You know why? Because I'm serving him. He has to give all the answers. I just deliver what he has already said. But boy, there's some people in our area. You do enough searching around, and you find some. There's a prophet over there in Riverview. I'm serious. There's a prophet over there in Riverview that will take your money. Remember we watched this guy? People are grown adults. They are throwing their hands in the air. They are writhing in their seats, waiting for this man to heal them. Something happened, and we moved away from the truth of Scripture. They're meeting tonight. A lot more people than are here. But this is where the truth is. Why? Because Prophet Jesse? No. Because we're just going to teach what God said. We're going to do what the Bible says. And if you were challenged tonight, maybe you were like, ooh, I don't like what he just said. Consider that it's not what I said. This is what the Bible says. And it is hard to break a wild animal. I hope that's not you. That you're the wild horse out there that just won't be broken. Learn to submit to the Lord. Submit your thoughts, your desires, the things that you want to do, submit them to him. You can work where you're working now and still walk in the Spirit. There's nothing wrong with that. I know some people, they're just like, we got to make the most extreme adjustment. That was me. Okay? I was 2011. Met some really, really good friends. I'm going to see them next week. Some of these guys, Kyla hasn't seen in what, 10 years? I could get emotional just thinking about going to see our friends that we met at camp 10 years ago. I can't wait. And I remember meeting these people, and I thought I had to do exactly what they're doing. So I put in a transfer at the bank. I bought an electric blanket to move to Chicago. I was ready to do all those things. And I remember driving to my in-laws' house, to Jan and Lucia's house, and I was on the phone with my uncle. He's sitting right there. And he said in so many words, Jess, if you're not willing to be faithful in church and ministry here, what makes you think 1,500 miles is going to change it? How dare you tell me something that I don't want to hear? Let me tell you, I was angered by that, not at him. But the more I thought about it, the more I was like, that is true. I'm not even faithful with the clear gospel here. I started to be faithful. Go to soul winning. Learn how to pray. Be at every service. You remember, Kyla? I stopped scheduling golf games on Sunday afternoon. Started coming here, and I started learning and growing. And then all of a sudden, we needed a head deacon, and Yankee asked me. And I was so excited about that. And we needed a Sunday school superintendent. He asked me to help along with that. I helped along with it. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the guy that was running Youth Ranch had to start focusing on Bible Line Institute, which was like the evening school at the time. And they asked me to run Ranch. And that's what I've always wanted to do. And then I ran Ranch for until December of last year. Never ended up going to Chicago. Never ended up going to Dayspring Bible College. Not because it's a bad place, but because the Lord had stuff for me here, but it was kind of like, Jesse, hello. I'm right here. You realize how wonderful this ministry is? Just because it's here and clear on the gospel? Be careful that you're not looking, that you miss the forest for the trees. You have opportunities right where you are. Let me share with you the free gift of eternal life. This is the best news in all the world. This hand were to represent you and me, and my wallet will represent sin. I'll put it on top of my hand because we've all sinned. This hand right here will represent Jesus Christ. John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," that's Jesus Christ, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." The operative phrase, there's so many, "For God so loved," unconditional loved, "the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever," anybody, "believeth in him." Get into heaven is not any kind of effort of yourself. I was talking with somebody today. What is salvation? The response was, salvation is a statement of belief. No, it's not. Salvation is what God does in response to you placing your faith in Jesus Christ and him alone. The moment that you believe on Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection for the full payment of your sin, you are a recipient of eternal life. You've experienced salvation. You can have that tonight. And once you are saved by God, there is nothing that you could do to undo what he's already done. Amen? That is not a secondary part of the gospel. That is the gospel message. And we can live in that truth. Now the question is, who are we going to submit to for the rest of this life? Are we going to submit to the Lord, the Holy Spirit? Or are we going to submit to self? I can't make that decision for you. Your Sunday school teacher can't do it. Your wife or your husband can't do it. You have to make that choice. I pray that you will. I think you'll live a much happier, joyful life if you learn to walk in the Spirit. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to teach your word. I pray that it is something that is easily understood. And Lord, if there are people here who have been challenged tonight by what's been said, I pray that they would work through that. That they would see, is this causing me an issue because I don't want to do these things, or is there an error here? Give them wisdom and discernment. Heads are bowed and eyes are still closed, please. Nobody's looking around. If you're here tonight and you walked in maybe thinking you had everything figured out, you were good enough to get to heaven because of something that you did or something that you said, I want to encourage you to realize what the scripture says, that but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. If you have yet to believe on Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection as the full payment for your sin, would you do so right now? Well, Jesse, I've turned from all my sin. No one's done that. Not even you, not even me. Well, Jesse, I made him the Lord and the master of my life. Those things are not listed in Scripture as a requirement for salvation. Right now, the best you know how, will you put your faith in Jesus Christ alone, that what he did on the cross was sufficient for your eternal life? If you did put your faith in Jesus tonight, would you raise your hand and let me know? Raising your hand doesn't save you. It just lets me know so that I can pray for you. Is there anyone at all before we close? Pastor, please pray for me. The best I know how, I put my faith in Jesus. I want to encourage you. Heads are bowed and eyes are still closed. I want to encourage you to learn to submit. Don't just go through the motions because your pastor told you to do those things. Learn to walk with the Lord. Father, bless us. Bring us back here safely for our midweek prayer meeting. Bless Dr. Polson and those who will be filling in. We pray for great and mighty things to happen at camp. Use Trent in a great and mighty way. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.